There are times as a Jesus follower when you will get stuck. You're going to get stuck. Maybe it's because you're out of sync because of the pandemic and you can't get back into the groove. Maybe even going through the motions, but it's just not clicking. We're not getting anything out of it. So we look up, waiting for God, as if something's going to happen. We're stuck. Or we faced a major life change or a loss that has shaken our faith foundation, and we're really not sure how we're going to move forward. Or we experience God do something amazing in our lives, like we just did a camp or a youth group experience, or this past week with this amazing building campaign where we raised, where God brought in over $400,000 for the expansion project that's ahead. And you prayed, you felt God working in and through you, and you made a commitment, a generous gift, and that was last week, or last month, or last year, and it's already wearing off. So we look up and wonder what's coming. We're stuck. Churches get stuck. Followers of Jesus get stuck. It's easy to get stuck looking up, not knowing what's next. If you're stuck today, there is a way out. Something that reignites our passion, something that fills us with this sense of awe that God is working in our lives, working through us. So does that sound like something you need today? Are you ready to get unstuck? Well, here's the tow rope that's going to pull you out and re-engage us in the mission. Here it is. You ready? Talk to somebody about Jesus. Talk to somebody about Jesus and get unstuck. And we think, yeah, could it really be that simple, Pastor Tim? Well, these past 5 weeks, we've been talking a lot about extending our reach through this building project. But here's the thing. If that's all we talk about, we're going to feel stuck because buildings are not the mission. The goal is experiencing lives transformed through faith in Jesus. And when we are part of that process, it's invigorating, right? It's powerful when people are hearing and responding to the work of the Spirit in and through us when we're telling people about Jesus. We're about transforming lives and knowing that it makes an eternal impact. So as we listened to testimonies last Sunday, it was an amazing service, wasn't it? It was incredible how we experienced something awesome. And here's why. Because as the church, we are part of what God is doing in each person's life. We're all part of that work together. You know, Jesus followers believe that one day Jesus is coming back. And that's great news for believers, right? It really is. Jesus is returning. But guess what? It's not such great news for someone who doesn't yet know Jesus, who hasn't experienced his transforming love. So we find not only our passion in talking to others about Jesus, but we find this urgency that tends to pull us out of the muck of being stuck, and it lifts our lives out of this indifference as we begin to recapture this vision of being part of this vibrant, Christ-centered community that is truly connecting all generations to Jesus. So we'll be called to be a part of that, and we get to be a part of the joy of new life. So this is the amazing vision that Jesus gave to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you," he's talking to the disciples, right? Now the beginning of the church, "you will receive power." Somebody say power. Power. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." Holy Spirit-empowered witnesses. That sounds pretty exciting, but the disciples immediately following, they get stuck. It says, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight, and they were looking intently into the sky as he was going." They were looking up, and they were stuck. They're not stuck because they're indifferent, though. They're stuck because they're awestruck. Right? They are just amazed at what is just happening. Something very incredible. It's awesome. So we imagine this scene. Jesus talks to them, and then he starts to go up into the clouds. In this account, it really doesn't describe their feelings, but it's a little more than going up into a fluffy summer kind of billowy cloud. This idea of the cloud is really the Shekinah glory of God. The scriptures in the Old Testament talk about this. When the temple is filled with the glory of God, it's like this cloud of smoke and glory. And nobody can go into the temple because it's just full of God. And that's what's happening here as Jesus is being taken up. He's not just covered up by a fluffy cloud. He's going up into the glory of God, into this cloud of glory. And it's an awesome experience. The disciples are all looking up going, what's next? Right? What's next? In Exodus, it talks about that cloud in Exodus 40, verse 34. It says, then the cloud covered the temple and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So they're stuck looking up. It says they're looking intently up into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. You know, the disciples were wondering, they're looking up wondering, okay, God, now what? Now what? So we put this into the context. All this has happened after Jesus was crucified. He was raised from the dead. He taught them everything that they need to know. He commissioned them to go out and make disciples. And then they are standing there going, now what? It's a crazy question. You know, maybe some of them thought that the cloud's going to dissipate, and there Jesus is standing there. You know, that happened for three of them when Jesus was transfigured, you know, in the cloud of glory, but then it all disappeared, and there's Jesus. Maybe they were thinking that was going to happen. Or, you know, in his resurrection body, Jesus had showed up. He had gone. He had come and gone over 40 days. It was kind of normal. It's like maybe Jesus went up to get some fresh air, and he's coming back down. I don't know. Or maybe they were just awestruck in worship. You ever been there? This is so amazing. You're just feeling the presence of God. It's so awesome, and you just never want it to end. Maybe that's what they were doing. But they weren't just awestruck. They had become awestruck looking up. And then two angelic beings, they ask this really, really good question. They say, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? I'm going to rephrase that in Tim's language. What are you guys doing? Why are you standing here? I like the King James Version. It says, why stand ye up into heaven and stare into heaven? Why? Oh, I messed it up. Why stand ye gazing into heaven, right? If somebody said that to you, why stand ye? So the bottom line in this question isn't really like, why are you standing there? It's like, you know what's next. You already know what's coming. So are you stuck? I'm going to tell you, you already know what's next. So if you're stuck, whether you're in awe because of this amazing thing God is doing in the building project, and you know I'm just not sure what we do now, or we're feeling a little indifferent because of the involvement in this Jesus thing just isn't doing it for us, you know, this question is for all of us right now. What are you doing? What are you doing? The angelic beings said, the same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So the disciples are reminded that the same Jesus who they walked on earth with, who taught them, who was with them, who physically ate and drank with them, the same Jesus that they saw going to heaven is the same Jesus that is coming back to earth, and he has a plan for them right now. And so the thing is to get going, to work the plan. Work the plan. You know, we've taken that plan that Jesus gave his disciples. We've worded it in our way for our day here at Bethlehem Church. The plan is this: making followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. And it looks like being a vibrant Christ-centered community that is connecting all generations to Jesus. It's the same plan. It's the plan Jesus gave to his disciples. And the way it's going to be accomplished is through the church. So here's the key. Here's why we cannot get stuck. Because who's the church? We are the church. I'm not the church alone. Pastor Greg, you're not the church all by yourself. So we are the church together. Everyone who's watching online, everyone who is gathered here, everyone who is connecting with Bethlehem Church here, we are the church in our context. We are the church on this missionary journey that Jesus himself has commissioned us to follow. And the plan is to talk about Jesus and impact people by sharing his word and his love in the lives of others. So we have a blueprint. You know, we're talking about building. We're asking about blueprints and what's this plan going to look like. A blueprint, it gives the builder everything they need to know from, you know, step by step how this building's going to go up from the ground up. So Jesus, or just so we're clear, the blueprint that we have as a church here is not a building. The building's the tool. The plan is what it's been since the day that Jesus went up into heaven. And here it is. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." Say that with me. You will be my witnesses. Witnesses. And then he laid out the blueprint, and Luke recorded it in the book of Acts. So Jesus instructs his followers in all that they're to do, and then he dies. And then he's raised from the dead. And Luke describes all this in the beginning of his letter of Acts. He says, "I wrote about all this, all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven." So this is the book of Luke. "After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." So Jesus taught and fully equipped his disciples to carry on his mission. And then he tells them that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them and give them power to be witnesses. Now, this is where it gets pretty exciting for them, because this pouring out of the Holy Spirit has been prophesied, and their time has become this popular teaching about the coming restoration of the earthly political kingdom of Israel. And that's where their next question comes from. It says, "Then they gathered around Jesus and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' But that is not the right question. Not now. He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority.'" They're not supposed to get caught up in matters that belong to God and trying to figure out the day and time of Jesus' return and waiting and staring and looking up. They're instead to focus on the things that are their concern, and that is the plan that Jesus gave them. It's easy to get caught up in the signs of the times and the things that really aren't our concern. It's easy to get caught up in all those conversations and speculations. It's not our plan. Instead, we have this clear mission mandate, and we have to be careful to navigate through all these other things, just like Jesus warned his disciples. So here's the focus. This is the mission that's going to keep us from getting stuck. Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Say witnesses. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." These are Jesus' very last words before he was taken up into heaven. This is it. The mission hasn't changed, and it's the very mission for every Jesus follower. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to talk to others about Jesus. And when we're doing that, we are full of this Spirit-filled passion and power, and we won't experience being stagnant. We won't get stuck. That's why we're so dedicated to kids' ministry here at Bethlehem Church. Research shows that kids are open to the gospel under the age of 18, and that more people come to faith before they're 18 than at any other age. And that they're also saying that it's getting younger and younger. And that's why we're so serious about youth ministry, because it's the time to call people to come to faith, to learn, to grow in Jesus. But our passion to share is for all ages, across all stages and all generations. And so we come back here tonight to do Alpha, because people engage in Jesus conversations, maybe for the first time, maybe in the kind of depth that we do for the first time, and people come to faith in Jesus at Alpha. Jesus laid out the whole program for his followers when he was taken up to heaven in this cloud of glory. And this is the part that we sometimes gloss over. The whole program's laid out. He He says the Spirit empowers us to do it. It's still the mandate at Bethlehem, and then he's taken up to heaven. It's a big deal. So how did the disciples respond? They're awestruck. Jesus was taken up to heaven in a cloud, and they're just stuck standing there. Pastor Albert Tate, he shares this message about this passage at a special global leadership event, and he calls it out of the gaze, right? Coming out of the gaze. I think maybe we're in this season post-pandemic, I'm going to call it that, and you know, pre-building that, you know, we're kind of still in this gaze, and we're called to come out. He describes it as Jesus going up to the Father. You know, he's like, he's explaining all this to his disciples. He's got it all done, and he's so looking forward to going up to heaven. He's like, okay, guys, you got this? And then he goes up. He just shoots up into heaven. And I was like, right up into heaven. And he's entering into this cloud of Shekinah glory, you know, the glory that he had with the Father before. He's so excited to be there. There's Elijah. There's Moses. They're having conversation. Their Father is so great. And he looks down to see his disciples, and they're just... I'm standing there with the mouth open. He's like, what are they doing? He's like, I came up here to heaven and I told them what to do. They're just, he looks back down. They're just like standing there. Like they don't know what they're supposed to do. And so Jesus, he calls a couple angels. He says, go down there and tell them, you know, get to work. What are you doing? Stop staring. Let's go. Why ye stand gazing up into heaven? They were stuck. We can't keep gazing forever. Jesus left so that the Spirit could come so that we could get to work. He's directing his mission right now from heaven. The living, risen Christ is there, sent the Holy Spirit to work through his church. We are the church, empowered and impassioned to make followers of Jesus. So over the last 2 years, unfortunately, we've gotten disconnected from this engagement together. Now, I'm not suggesting it's probably any of our faults. It's just the reality we've faced. It's so good to be back together, but we've somehow gotten off course. And when that happens, we get disengaged from the mission and from the witness. And when we aren't renewed by the Spirit in this worship together, we don't talk about it, right? It's just not part of our conversations. And when we don't talk about it, we stop witnessing to other people. And when we stop talking about Jesus, we start to feel indifferent. Like our presence and our part in all this mission stuff isn't really that important. It doesn't really make a difference. Nobody's really being affected by me. And when we become indifferent, then we lose this sense of awe. And when there's no more awe, when we no longer have this sense of awe, we begin to lose hope. And when we lose hope, we no longer expect the Holy Spirit to work in and through our lives like the Holy Spirit works in other people's lives. We get stuck. And following Jesus isn't awesome anymore. And it's all because we've stopped talking to other people about Jesus. We stopped being who Jesus saved us to be. Are you stuck looking up? If we don't get unstuck, we risk wasting the life God has given us to impact people's lives for eternity. So you and I, we have this mission. We have one life to live on this earth. And Jesus has called us in that life to trust him, to follow him, and to be his witness in the world. You know, the good news is that you and I, we don't have to stand on the sidelines and watch all the other people experience all the amazing, wonderful things God is doing in their lives to bring others one step closer to Jesus. He's calling us into that relationship with the Holy Spirit to influence and affect others. So what do? Well, we get engaged. Now, if you're a teenager, I don't mean get a wedding ring and get engaged, okay? I mean we get engaged in the mission. And here's how we get unstuck. Engagement. Say engagement. Engagement. The end of Acts chapter 2 gives us this picture of Jesus' ministry plan when it is being lived out in the early church. Now, this isn't exactly what the church looks like today, but it is what it looked like then. And if you feel indifferent or stuck, I invite you to take one of these outline steps that are described in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It begins with this. They devoted themselves, so the church, the early church, the disciples, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So we have the apostles' teaching today. It's in the Bible. It's in the scriptures. Everything that they taught is written down for us. And so when we get into the word, we are devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. And that's why we do Alpha. That's why we have adult Sunday school and talk about how the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. That's why men's group meets on Saturday morning to engage in the Word of God, and on Wednesday during worship, during Lent now, and youth group or Be Bold or Bible Blast. If you're unable to engage in that way and devoted to God's Word, then I want to encourage you to go online to our website and click on the Right Now Media resource. It gives you studies and ways to engage. And here's my challenge to you. Grab a couple people around your neighborhood and engage with them. Have a little study in your home, in your house. Meet together. The scriptures talk about, or Acts 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. To fellowship, this idea of meeting together. We can't replace it. There's nothing to replace this meeting together. And if you're online, this is really going to be a challenge to you. And I want to encourage you to somehow figure out how to meet. I know some of you can't be here, but figure out a way to engage with other Jesus followers in person. We need to get together. We need to make it a priority. That's why we do Wednesday meals here and get together and eat. Everybody likes to eat, right? And gather around the table. And Sunday mornings, we gather, start a home group if you need to meet together. Come to Alpha tonight. Doesn't matter if it's just in the middle, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Come and join us. And verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. This is another step of engagement, this idea of being filled with awe. You know, the Holy Spirit works through us, and we simply need to make ourselves available with our spiritual gifts to others, to others. Want to experience that awe? Make yourself available to others. Youth group is working on a spiritual gifts inventory. That's awesome, but it's not just to know what your gifts are, it's to serve with your gifts, use your gifts, and begin to experience God working in and through you. Make yourself available to others. Serve, care, talk, pray with someone. You know, if someone tells you something's going on in their lives and they share that with you, don't just say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Ask if you can pray for them, and then just simply pray. Say, I don't know how to pray. Well, just open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit start speaking. Just, you know, pray a word of comfort. Jesus bless my friend. That's a prayer. It continues on, steps of engagement. It says, verse 44, all the believers were together, say together, and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need. Now, this verse makes us a little scared, right? What? We're going to start selling our possessions and give to those in need? I don't know about that. Well, guess what? That isn't your problem. You are a generous church. You're already demonstrating that day in, day out, week in, week out. You are already generous. So here's what I'm going to focus on in this piece of the passage. Together. Being together. When you hear of someone who is in need, step in with others together to make a difference. If you are that person in need, reach out to others and together ask God to work in your life. Helping in our congregation, we have the Dresser Project that already does that, that helps people financially or connecting people so that they can work together in these difficult situations. If you have a need, we'll do our best to work at it together. Every day they continue to meet together, say together, in the temple courts. Meeting together in worship, it gets us unstuck. It gets us on track in this mission-making followers business. Here, there's another element of engagement. In verse 46, it says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with, say together. Are we getting the point here? Together, right? They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Many of you already get together in your homes. I encourage you to continue to do that. And if you're meeting together with a group in your homes, here's my challenge to you. Invite someone new into the group and let them experience that togetherness of Christ. And you say, well, that might change the dynamic of the group. That's the point. That's what it means to be together and to share the love of Jesus and influence others for Christ. Be a witness. So as we are together, they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And I think this is one of the most wonderful ways of witness that we can have, is to express an attitude of gratitude. You know, praise is attractional. When we are grateful, when we are giving thanksgiving, when we are offering ourselves to God, that's attractional to other people. Be grateful and express it in praise to others. Don't be obnoxious, like, praise the Lord every time you pick up the fork. Don't say that. Unless that's you. Just be a heartfelt, be sincere. It speaks the good news. And the passage ends with the outcome. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We're not building a building to have a building. We're building a building to fill it with followers of Jesus, to equip them to go into the world to make more followers of Jesus. That is awesome. That is engagement. So are you unsure about how to come out of the indifference that the last 2 years have left us in? Then get awed by what God is doing in his church. Maybe right here at Bethlehem. Look up. Look up to God, but don't get stuck. Go from awe to awesome and take one step to begin to talk to someone about Jesus. One step this week to be a witness. If you don't know what to say, start by asking someone, how you doing? Let's try that. How you doing? How you doing? And they'll probably say, fine. And then from there, you begin to engage in a conversation. And if you don't know what to say, say, hey, you know what's happening at Bethlehem Church? We're going to expand. And people say, really, you're going to do that? Why are you doing that? And then you get to say, right, why are we expanding? Because God is doing something awesome. And then tell them what it, you're a follower of Jesus. And ask them, are you a follower of Jesus? If they say yes, then say, tell me about that. If they say no, then say, tell me about that. Let's try that one. Tell me about that. Tell me about that, and begin to listen, and the Holy Spirit will continue to guide that conversation as you start to talk about Jesus. And then invite them to come and see. Invite them to come to be together. See, our plan for making followers of Jesus at Bethlehem Church is you. You are the plan. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness. There's no other way to experience the joy of following Jesus. Let's pray and come to the table today. The scripture says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, this could mean certainly gathering around their tables for evening meals, but it seems to highlight the idea of coming together in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And this is one place at the table where Jesus invites us all. We are truly together as we celebrate in this sacrament.